Thank you, Jeanette. Everyone's very peaceful right now, I know. That was a wonderful, what a blessing. Thank you, Jeanette. I'm very thankful to be able to share God's word with you today. Thanks, Earl, for giving me this opportunity. This time of year, there's a phrase that's often heard, and I heard it myself not long ago. And if I brought some nickels, I could pass them out to you for every time that you've heard it. It's a standard December conversation starter. Are you ready for Christmas? And I'd have to answer truly, maybe by December 24th at 11:45 p.m. I'd be ready. But today, thankfully, here at the Bible Center, we get to fellowship and be in God's Word together. So today I want to share with you on Let's Be Ready. And I don't mean Christmas. So go to 1 Peter chapter 3. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." That's how we want to be ready. That's the ready that we always want to be. Ready to always give an answer to every man who asketh us the reason of the hope that's in us. Go back to verse 8 of this chapter. Verse 8, it says, "Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good?" In the Working Translation, it's "if ye be zealots of that which is good." That's the zeal. We're zealots to follow that which is good. Verse 14 says, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. The fear of the Lord the fear of the world isn't ours to claim or to hold fast to. You can remember in Isaiah it says, "Neither fear ye their fear or be afraid." We don't have to fear, we don't have to be troubled, but rather than fear, again, verse 15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." In Journey Through the Acts and Epistles, Volume 2, there's a note that in most critical Greek texts, it would be "the Lord Christ," "but sanctify the Lord Christ in your hearts." The Working Translation of this verse says, reads, "Sanctify the Lord Christ in your hearts, being constantly ready with a defense, an answer of truth, to everyone that asks you for a reason concerning the hope that is in you, but do so with meekness and fear or reverence." Well, we know what it is to sanctify. We set apart. We're going to set apart the Lord Christ in our hearts. It's sanctified. It's set apart from the common or from what is in the world. And being constantly ready. In Bullinger's, it talks of people being ready, active, zealous, which reminds us of verse 12, that we want to be zealots of that which is good. So we're ready. We're constantly ready, always ready to give with a defense or an answer of truth to everyone who asks us. The meekness and reverence that we give these answers, in Bullinger's, the word meekness in the definition includes gently, enduring all things with an even temper, tender, free from haughty self-sufficiency. And then the reverence, like we reverence God. It's like God is wonderful and big, and he's our Father, and we get to tell folks about him. We get to, you know, just offer that to anyone who asks. So the goal is to always be ready. So are we ready? I know you are. I know there is lots of God's word that you all are always ready to share. And that's something that I love about being with the saints. They're always ready to share, always ready to talk about what God has done for them. So today I want to share with you some of the things in God's word that I always want to be ready to share with those that ask me, what is the reason of the hope that lives within me? So who, first of all, doesn't love talking about our Heavenly Father? God is God. He is our Father. He is love. If anyone is looking for love, they don't have to look any further, because no one can love more than God loves. No one can provide, no one can love you or take care of you like God does. Go to 1 John. 1 John 4. You guys have heard all these verses, but it's such a blessing to see and to recognize that we get to share this. In manifestations, God, you know, reminded us that he's given us his word, and that he reminded us that he loves us. These are all things that we always have and we get to remember. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is," what?
Love.
There it is. "And this was manifested, the love of God towards us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is God, love. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the full payment for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." It's that simple. That's how we can interact. That's how we can, you know, view God with all that love that he has for us, and that we can love one another. "No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." There you go. Jesus Christ. "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. And we know and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." All wrapped up in that wonderful love of God is that he gave us his Son, that he loves us, that we can have boldness, because as he is, so are we in this world. "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." We love God because he first loved us. God always moved first towards his family, towards us. Because of God's love, man doesn't ever have to fear. I mean, fear is so prevalent in the world today, but if people would acknowledge the love of God and all that he's provided by that love, there's no place for fear. The extent of God's love is evidenced in the gift of Jesus Christ, that he gave his Son. His love is so great that he gave us his Son so that we could be born again and part of his family, that we could be redeemed. We know John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." So with that love is that promise, that redemption, that salvation that God provided. And then part of that salvation is everlasting life. This is just, it's a wonderful thing to be able to share with people. Like, the greatness of God's love and all that he's provided, salvation, you know, that we can be born again of and have Jesus Christ be our Savior, and then that wonderful everlasting life. These are all promises of God that we can share with people. All God's word comes to pass. It's true. It's God's word. He's going to bring it to pass. So we can trust in his power to fulfill all his promises. So John 3:16 said he so loved that he gave that man should not perish. Everlasting life is a promise. It's going to happen. We get to tell people that's the greatness of, you know, why are you so happy all the time? Well, I got this going for me. Because it's a promise of God. So we get to share God's love. Another thing we get to share about is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We can always be ready to talk about Jesus Christ and all that God made a way for him and all that he completed because of his loving obedience of God. Jesus Christ talks about his ministry in the book of Luke 4. In Luke 4, verse 17, Jesus Christ was in the temple, and it said, there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it to the minister, and he sat down. And all the eyes of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. I just love to picture this in my mind. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Jesus Christ was our Savior. God made his plans, and Jesus Christ was right there to complete those plans so that we could have that salvation. Jesus Christ came to preach the gospel to the poor. He healed broken hearts. He preached deliverance. He recovered the sight of the blind. He set at liberty them that are bruised. These are things that are still needed today. People still need deliverance. They still need the gospel. They're brokenhearted. They still need to learn about Jesus Christ and how he is a delivering Savior and all that we can have because we have made him Lord in our lives. We are saved because we believed in Jesus Christ. We made him the Lord in our lives. We get to proclaim that he is our Lord and Savior. Romans 10, 9 and 10, that's, you know, it's a given that we get to share with people that if they confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in your heart, thine heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, they shall be saved. It's a promise, it's true, it's given, it's going to happen. You're going to be saved. Jesus Christ came to make all that deliverance and healing available. We get to acknowledge that God raised him from the dead, we're going to be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, verse 10, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You're not going to be disappointed. You're not going to be ashamed. You're not going to say, oh man, I wish I never did that. Far from it. Far from it. You're never going to be ashamed or disappointed by believing in the name of Jesus Christ. It's the opposite of disappointment. It's the expectation of seeing all God's power, all God's grace, unmerited divine favor. Nothing that you ever deserved, nothing that I ever deserved, nothing that we ever deserved. The opposite of disappointment is to live in God's grace and goodness, seeing his love, living as born-again believers, Son of God, through all the work of Jesus Christ. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. These are wonderful things that we get to share with somebody. Somebody will ask, and you get to, and we get to tell them these wonderful truths of God's word. Ephesians chapter 2, Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. We have heard it. We've heard it in manifestation. We've read it in other places in the Word. We're reading it now. It's a given. God loves us. Yes. When we were dead in sins, he loved us. When we were like enemies, he loved us. And he has quickened us together with grace. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We can be ready to tell people with meekness that there's no self-sufficiency in being saved. It's not of works. There's nothing people have to do. Like, people are always concerned about, well, what do I have to do? Like, sometimes they want to do the bare minimum. Sometimes they want to do too much. But God's word said salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not a self-sufficient. It is a gift of God. It's by God's grace, his goodness, that he provided Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ completed that work so that we can be saved. Look over in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Again, this is true. This is something we get to share with people. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. He just wanted to do it. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made it accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, according to the riches of God's grace. We are born again sons of God. He's blessed us. Ephesians says he's chosen us, he's predestinated us, made us children. We're accepted. We have redemption. We have forgiveness of sins. It's huge. It's almost you have to wrap it around your brain. Forgiveness of sins. We have, and we get to share that with people. These are amazing reasons to share with people who are wondering what it is that is just different about you. Go down to verse 11 of Ephesians 1. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So think about it. We heard the word. We have a wonderful God who said in his word all the truths about Jesus Christ and what he accomplished for us. We heard that word. We believed that word. And then we get born again of God's Spirit. We're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We heard it. We believed it. We're sealed. It's a done deal. And we can be ready to tell people that you can trust that word, in whom ye also trusted, it said. We get to trust God's word. This is true. This is a promise of God from a loving God, that when we believe, we're sealed with that Holy Spirit. So now we have Holy Spirit on the inside, the promise of the Father. Through the work of his Son, Jesus Christ, we have that. Verse 16. Paul says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of your in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who are to believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him in his own right hand in heavenly places. So ask me if you can know God. Ask me if you can see the power of God in your life. And I'll say, yes, you can see it, because we've been given the gift of Holy Spirit. We've been given that access to God. We've been given the enlightenment, that we are being enlightened. Our understanding is enlightened. We can see the exceeding greatness of his power. Yes, it's true. We can see all that, and we can show that power in our own lives and let people know about it. And in that power, we're going to talk about the manifestations, because that's a great thing to share with people. People don't know. First of all, they're excited about being born again, but wait, there's more. You know, there are the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." God always wants his people to know. He lovingly always wants people to know. And we get, so we'll tell them about the manifestations. Verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 12 says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." God just didn't give the manifestations just because it sounded like a good idea. It's to profit. There's a profit to him. The manifestation is given for profit, for to one is given by the Spirit of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. Nine manifestation. Does it seem too much, too big, or too good to be true? Well, it is. It's great. It's wonderful. And it is true. Because the word declares it's profitable. It's profitable. The Spirit that God has given us and the manifestations, it's profitable. And it's for us to operate. 1 Corinthians 14. It's nothing that God makes people do. It's nothing that he, you know, controls people to do. It's he has given us the Spirit, and we operate the We operate the manifestations. 1 Corinthians 14, 32 says, "And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets." You know, you get to tell people, you know, God in Christ in you is available. It's your opportunity to manifest. You know, God isn't going to control you. He is there encouraging you. He's wanting to see profit in your lives. "For God is not the author of confusion," verse 33, "but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." We have the freedom to choose to operate. And then when we operate that Spirit, when we operate those manifestations, what a blessing it was today to hear the worship manifestations, to hear tongues with interpretation and prophecy. I was built up. I was edified. It was, you know, so encouraging to hear from God when saints get together in a fellowship. And then when we operate that Spirit, when we operate those manifestations, God has provided evidences of that operation. The fruit of the Spirit is another powerful reason to share what's going on with you. What's the hope that lives in us? Well, you don't plant a fruit tree and then never expect to get any fruit out of it. You know, God has given us God in Christ in us. You know, the fruit is going to be there as we operate. We're going to see that evidence, you know, and the world will see it. And they'll go, what about that? And you'll say, I can tell you all about it. Galatians 5, you know, lists the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, verse 22. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, these aren't things that you wrap up in paper and put a bow on it and give it to somebody, but it's things that everybody wants. Everybody wants love in their life. Everybody wants joy. They want peace. They want gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. They want temperance, which is long-suffering or self-control. People want to know that they can control themselves. That's, you know, that's a fear in their lives, that they'll lose control. But God's word says the fruit of the Spirit, meekness, temperance, self-control, against such there is no law. This is the fruit that God has provided in that Holy Spirit and that Holy Spirit gift to us. So there is a need in the world to share this with people because they need it. They want it and they try. The world offers them so many options to try to fulfill this need for the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. But it only comes from operating the manifestations. So we want to give them the truth, not the counterfeit, not whatever the world offers for you to get love or joy or peace or whatever. But we want to be able to answer and let people know this is the truth of God's word. This is what God provides. The need is there, and we get to share it and let people know. It shows up when we operate the Spirit because God's promised that it will. It's a promise of God. Remember we said God is love. His word is truth. It's power. We get to operate that Spirit as we will. And we can do it as much as we want. I could tell you how much I love to speak in tongues, but we don't have that much time. And that's probably another teaching. But we can speak in tongues much, much more. We get to operate that Spirit in our lives and see that. You know, see the fruit in our lives from there. We have so many answers for people that want to know. So I have one more thing I want to share with you today, because of course we can't talk about things we want to share with people without talking about our wonderful hope. God is sending Jesus Christ back to gather the believers together, his family. This surety in our lives that we have a hope, that we have an anchor in the midst of this world, which is not our home, because God is going to call us and gather us together. We have that to look forward to every day. You know, I don't know if you like surprises or you don't like surprises, but the expectation of knowing that Jesus Christ is coming back and that nobody knows but God when that's going to happen. It's an exciting thing. It's an exciting reality. It's a truth because we know it's going to happen. This world is not all that there is. Death is not an end. God has provided us a wonderful hope. And 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Let's read these wonderful records just to remind us of what we can share with people, what God has provided. Verse 51 of 1 Corinthians 15. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The victory. We have a victory. We get to share with people that there is a victory to look forward to, that we live now victorious because of all that Jesus Christ accomplished for us and in us. And then we have the victory to look forward to when he comes back. Behold, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know as your labor is not in vain in the Lord. This everything that we do for God, he knows, he sees. He's excited about it. He's thrilled when we operate the manifestations, when we see his power, when we speak his word, when we stand for his truth. Our labor is not in vain in the Lord. And he's given us a victory to live in now and in at the return. Look at 1 Thessalonians, just because it's fun. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and we did, we do, we believe that he died for us, that God raised him from the dead, we made him Lord in our life, even so, them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. The dead will raise. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. Everybody's going. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We can comfort one another. We can comfort others that ask us, saying, yes, there is a hope. Yes, death is not the end. We have all of eternity, everlasting life to look forward to with a loving God who provides for us time and time again, with our brother Jesus Christ, who right now is at work, you know, mediating for us. We have this comfort that this is going to happen, that this is a truth, that this is truth. So let's be ready to comfort people with meekness and reverence. You know, we know that none of this, none of what we share from God's word is anything that we did. It is just God. We get to proclaim and show God's loving, a loving God, a complete Savior who redeemed us from the darkness of this world, that we are have Holy Spirit, that it's sealed. We are sons of God. We can manifest that Spirit to show God's power, that we get to see all the wonderful fruit evidenced in our lives, that we have a hope, that we have the promise of God, knowing that he's sending Jesus Christ back for us one day. These are wonderful truths that we can be ready to share. And I love you so much. I thank God for you. God, thanks for this wonderful day and time that we get to live and know you and know your word and know your love and power and goodness, that we get to know Jesus Christ as our Redeemer, our Savior, our Lord, and that we get to live as your saints, Father, that we get have Holy Spirit within us, that we get to show forth your grace, your love, your mercy to people that need to hear. Father, we ask you to bless our lives and bless the people who need to hear, Father, that we can reach out and that they can hear your truth and your love and that we get to share that with them. We ask you, God, for all your blessings upon us this day. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.